The will of God versus the will of man. This has been a struggle since the very beginning, the battle of all battles. The will of God versus the will of man. Adam and Eve in the garden, the very beginning, they chose the will of man. They ate from the fruit. They failed the test. We can blame it on the devil all we want. But this has been our struggle as well. Let's be real. It's a battle that we struggle against. Our desires, our plans, our agenda, our ideas of right and wrong, our man-made standards versus following His will. God did come to save us from our sins. But He also came to save us from ourselves. You're not in control, Ariel. He is. I want to share with you some Bible lessons from the Word of God. In fact, a lot of this stuff is from our Sunday school lessons that we had in this last year. And I think God speaks to us as a church, even through these study guides. I checked to find out. These authors who do this Sunday school lesson for our church that we follow, most of us in here, they fast and pray 2 years beforehand, before they put this information in here. Which date, with which lesson? Let's look quickly at some of the lessons that we learned this past year. September 22nd, we learned from Numbers 13. If you turn to Numbers 13, in fact, real quickly, if you don't know any other chapter from Numbers, Numbers 13 is the most important. I actually spoke about this two times last year. Some people got it, some people did not. I'm going to go over it again, a recap. The story is very simple. 12 spies go out into Canaan. What was God's will? Verse 1 says it very clearly. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, verse 2, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. That's the most important phrase you need to underline in your Bible. Which I am giving to the people of Israel. This is God's promise. His definitive promise. I'm going to give it to you. It's His will. Gentlemen, go in and take it. It's your land. The 12 spies come back. 10 of them have a bad report. They come with a report that is man's will, their agenda, their plans. What's so sad about this, if you go and look at this, we don't have time, just if you go home, verse 27, they give the report. You'll see it's man's will. There's no mention of God anywhere in that report. They don't even recognize Him. What's really sad about this story is in verse 2. Put up verse 2. No, back to Numbers 13, verse 2. Look at the very end of it. From each tribe of their fathers, you will send a man, everyone a chief among them. The 12 spies that were sent were leaders, the cream of the crop, the ones who should be the most spiritual. They're going out. They come back with a report. They're so convincing, so powerful that they convince the entire congregation to follow their agenda, their plan, their will, their man-made will. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Instead of following God's will, they followed man's will. You know what's so sad about the story? Is they went into the wilderness 40 years, and God had to wipe out an entire generation in 40 years. Gone, just like this. Fast forward 40 years, and we get to the next verse, the next chapter, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. This is an interesting group of people. Everybody's wiped out except for Joshua and Caleb and everyone who's under the age of 20, a new generation. They get here, and God tells them His will. Verse 4 and 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And here's his instructions. You shall love me with all your heart, not half heart, all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Total commitment to him. You make me a priority. I'm the boss. This young generation, with Joshua leading, enter the promised land. They get to Jericho, and God gives them instructions. Circle it 7 times. They ask, how high, how much? We'll do it. I kept wondering if this young generation would have been there with their parents, the previous generation. Maybe after the 3rd time around, we've done this so many times. We know, we've been around the rodeo a couple of times. We know how to do this. We can be more effective and efficient. Look, we get it. Let's just attack. They would have failed. Not this generation. They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and strength. You're the boss. We follow your instructions exactly. They do it 7 times. It collapses. They go in there. God instructs them, don't take anything. One of the guys takes. God instructs, kill him. Young generation does it. Kills him. Because that's what God has said. They follow God's will. This was known as one of the greatest campaigns of Israel, a generation that followed God's will. They did so many wonderful things during that period of time. Unfortunately, there's a battle. Man's will versus God's will. At the very end, when Joshua dies, the same generation, in Judges 17:6, look what it says. They don't do God's will anymore. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Man's will became a priority again. On December 1st of this year, of this last year, 2019, the Sunday school lesson was from 1 Chronicles 15. I remember reading it, and when I read it, it was boring. A lot of formality. A whole bunch of language about Levites. David is taking the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. There's a whole bunch of language about how he needs to do it, and you see it over and over again, how to take the ark. Look at some of the examples. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 2. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, for the Lord had chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister to him forever. Next verse. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, of God of Israel. Again, Levites, Levites. Verse 14. Verse 15. Again, and the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles. But look at the last part. As Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord, God's will. David followed the instructions of God. In Numbers, it talks about how to carry the ark, Levites, how to consecrate yourself. But here's the interesting people don't know. This is the 2nd time that David had tried to bring the ark. You see, the great King David, a man after God's own heart, he also followed man's will. Because he did it another time and he made a big mistake. Just 2 chapters beforehand, 1 Chronicles 13. Look at verse 4. All the assembly agreed to do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. You'll notice when I read this, there's no Levites. There's no sacrifices. There's nothing. Look what it says, verse 7. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzziah were driving the cart. And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. God, we love you. We're not going to look to see how you want us to do it. We're not going to follow your instructions. We don't even know what it is. Who cares? We can be effective, efficient. There's no Levites. There's no sacrifices. We got a new cart. We're going to bring you the best. And look what happens. Verse 9. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzziah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David, verse 11, was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzziah. Don't be mad, David. You didn't follow God's instructions. You didn't follow the will of God. You followed man's will, what was right in their eyes. The last verse I want to point to is 1 Chronicles 17, 1 through 2. After David is celebrating and he's excited to bring the ark back and he's having a wonderful time, he comes back and he has a revelation, a desire in his heart. Look at this. And when David lived in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, "Behold, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent." He's convinced now, I've got to build something for God. Beautiful desire. No one's going to question that. In fact, Nathan the prophet, look what he says. Nathan the prophet says to him, Nathan said to David, verse 2, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." A blessing from the prophet. Go ahead and start. What I've learned is before you confirm or affirm something, you might want to check with the boss. And the boss is who? Not prophet, not David, but God. Check with him first before you start making blessings or saying things. Because in verse 3, Nathan has a dream that night. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord," here's the will of God, "it is not you who will build me a house to dwell in, for I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up Israel to this day, but I have gone from a tent to tent and from dwelling to dwelling." Do we check with the boss first? Do we check with God first before we do things? I've discovered as Christians, and we have this battle, man's will versus God's will. And a lot of times, we decide, I'm going to do it my way, my desires, my plans, and then I want God to save me. A boy wants to get married. A Christian boy. Doesn't seek out from God, pray or fast. No. I like that girl. She's pretty. She's gonna satisfy, meet my needs. I'm going to get married. He gets married. His will. And then when they have troubles, that's when he cries out to God to save him. "Please, God, save me. I married a witch. Help me. I want to buy that mansion. I'm going to get in debt. After you buy it, God, please help me, save me." Why didn't you ask for God's will beforehand, before you bought it? Why didn't you ask for God's will first before you got married to that girl? Why? It says in 1 John 5:14, "If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us." How do you know what the will of God is? The word of God, multiple places, tells us what his will is. And I encourage all of you, spend time in the word of God in the New Testament. It talks language of steward, what it means to be a steward, to manage. Everything we have is from him. It talks about what is needs versus wants. How do you learn what is the will of God? Ask him first. Fast and pray before you make decisions. I want to share with you, and I'm going to say this in Romanian. Fraților, aș vrea să clarific un privire la discuția de aseară. Nu vreau să fiu înțeles greșit. Nu doresc să creez niciun fel de dezbinare și nu sunt împotriva remodelării. Can't even say that well. Remodelării. Dar, cred că dacă suntem ca o familie, e bine să fim transparenți și deschiși unii cu alții. Și e ok dacă avem și punem întrebări. Dacă v-am ofensat prin întrebările mele, vă rog să mă iertați. Let me say this in English for those who don't understand. I am not against the remodeling that happened in that church. I know a lot of people that sacrificed to do it. In fact, this church is built on 35 years of sacrifice that people will never find out, never know about. Their reward is in heaven. We recognize that. That's beautiful. And I'm glad, like Jesus said, this year is going to be a chance for us to be a family. And a family means being open and honest and transparent and asking questions, probing questions. I don't know how the communist system was. I don't know how a communist family is. Maybe they didn't allow questions. Maybe they had small closed meetings and didn't allow anything. That's not a family, that's a gang. And I pray that we'll be a family. Regardless of the family, though, I pray that we will follow the will of God. He will be our boss. We'll ask Him first. We'll engage Him. We want to do your priorities. How do you know the will of God? Through His Word. And may God bless us all. Amen.